Welcome to Tramlines, a podcast from Agri. I'm your host, Tony Smith, putting your questions to the experts. With over 27,000 downloads and 75 episodes available to download, today we're going to look back over some of the top-ranking podcasts from the past three seasons. What were they? What were some of their most interesting moments? And which was our favourite? But first, a podcast that we have seen resurface is Striking a Healthy Balance with Spring Nutrition, with Sam Fordham, Head of Technical at Ryza, and Tom Land, Fertiliser Technical Manager at Agri. In this episode, they discuss nitrogen management for the spring, looking at variable rates, strategies, and building in resilience, and why this is crucial for success at harvest. As many of you will now be turning your attention to spring practices and getting the foundations right, Tom recommends reflecting back on the previous season, now two seasons ago, and assess what worked, what didn't work.
Yeah, this is one thing I'm trying to encourage growers to do, really, is to look back and see what worked, what didn't work. And probably the key metric in this is grain testing, because that's your kind of final proof in the pudding in terms of how nitrogen was utilised. But also last season, we had a lot of different weather effects that made us think halfway through the season that it wasn't going to be a great year in terms of yield, but actually the levels of sunlight that the crops received and the condition the crops were in as well meant they intercept sunlight better, and we actually saw some reasonably good yields and positive responses, even in the light of maybe reduced N inputs, where growers were making economic decisions saying, I'm going to apply less nitrogen to the crops because of the price of nitrogen, really.
And focusing on strategies for the season, Tom gave us some recommendations.
Yeah, well, probably the first thing I would do is, you can do a nitrogen use efficiency calculation based upon the previous year, so your grain analysis. If you haven't done broad spectrum grain analysis and you've got a protein result, you can divide that percentage protein by 5.7 to get your percentage grain nitrogen, and you can still carry on with the same calculation. Just to understand how efficiently was that nitrogen used in the previous year.
Sam then covered what data is available for farmers to make those key decisions in the spring.
Tony, so data is king, and we're learning that fast. And there are multiple sources that you can gather data that can help you with these decision making and learning and understanding what's going on. As Tom said, anything from understanding organic matter and clay content and your base soil indexes, that's something that you can get through soil sample data. But also looking at weather trends, what rainfall have you had to date, looking back at previous year's rainfall, so you can start to understand how a crop performed in certain circumstances in previous years. But I guess the most relevant, once you've established all of that, is crop biomass data. So whether that be through NDVI, GCVI from a satellite, or from drone footage, even some sensors that you can put on implements, put on sprayer booms, or another machine that's traveling through the field when you've got crop canopy. And these can really start to help you understand not necessarily the absolute, because absolute biomass is tricky to judge from a sensor, but you can certainly start to understand where variation is and use that to focus where you might go and look at crops to make assumptions for your plans and strategies for that year.
So great advice there from Sam Fordham and Tom Land. Moving on to another podcast and a very important topic is coping with loneliness and isolation in farming. This was delivered by Petra Martin, Head of Health and Safety at Agri, Alex Fillimore, Head of Communications and Development at FCM, and Sam Bailey, Agri agronomist and farmer. They covered loneliness and isolation. What are the causes? What are the effects? And what can we do to combat this within the agricultural industry? Petra starts by making an important point of you can be lonely without being isolated, and be isolated without being lonely. We ask how it feels to be lonely and isolated. Sam shared his thoughts as to what this means for him.
Yeah, it can really, drag you down, escalate the problems you had in your head that can make them feel bigger and bigger if you see that their issues are, sometimes if their issues affecting others, I know, you know, often it's said a problem shared is a problem halved, but when the other person's suffering the same problems, it can actually, you know, escalate things and make it feel more doom and gloom, and you can't see a way out at the other end.
Alex then spoke about how we can be more open as an industry to talking about mental health.
And it's really about identifying that there are lots of people who are going to be interfacing with farmers in different roles. It could be agronomists, it could be land agents, it could be lawyers, solicitors, etc. All of whom need to be able to understand what the pressures are in farming, particularly at the moment, the pressures that farmers are under, and then how to spot when they're seeing perhaps behavioural changes in those individuals that would be perhaps an indication of mental ill health. And then if they do observe those things, how to signpost them to charities such as FCM. So I think it's really, really important that we do more of this training side of things. And I go and deliver this training, and I've delivered it to farmers who have never once in their life had an open conversation around mental health. It's something they've avoided. And actually, even though it can be a bit of a tough conversation, it's not always the easiest conversation, the feedback I receive afterwards is people coming up to me afterwards and saying, you know what, I've never actually thought about mental health in this way. I've never acknowledged that actually we all have mental health, and it can be good, it can be bad. We use this analogy of the pressure cooker of stress, which is that all of us have a capacity for dealing with stress. Some of us can deal with tons of stress and we can somehow thrive, but some people are perhaps more easily overwhelmed. And it's about appreciating that we're all different, and that what you might be able to handle, someone else might not be able to, and we need to take different approaches and be empathetic. So we do all sorts of things within that training that really tries to help normalize talking about mental health and helping people to better understand what mental ill health actually is.
And we asked Petra, how can we make a difference if someone isn't themselves?
I think, listen, I think, again, it's just taking that step back and stop thinking about the work pressures and the constant, I've got to get to the next thing, and actually just take a moment to listen. Because often, I think Sam said that sort of offloading earlier, often people do need to offload. And if that's you, then you have to stop and you have to listen. And you don't have to solve the problem. That's really key as well. I think sometimes people are afraid to listen, afraid to have those conversations because they think they're going to have to offer a solution. But actually you don't. And you need to listen and hopefully know where you can point them to those supports. So Alex mentioned FCN. There are lots of charities out there who also offer a whole range of different support and networks. And it's really key that awareness of what support is available and the fact that it's specific support for the agricultural community as well.
We are giving every listener a copy of the FCN's Fit for Farming booklet. Simply email your address to info@agri.co.uk and we will send you one in the post. There is a male and female version. Please specify your choice. With the launch of the new recommended list for cereals and oilseed rape in November 2023, Agri's seed experts Roger Sheriff, National Seed Business Manager, John Miles, Seed Technical Manager, and David Leeper, Seed Technical Specialist, share their opinions on this podcast, Seed Select, Unearthing Top Varieties for Autumn, and look into what's new. We will bring you the key take-homes, also covering what this means for seed availability and the grower. The discussion begins with a deep dive into the significance of the recommended list. Roger sheds light on its crucial role in identifying the gross output potential of crops and managing associated risks.
Well, the value, obviously, the value to me is the gross output potential of a crop to a grower versus the risk of actually growing that crop. And the list is very good at identifying nationally the potential of varieties. As Agri, we look to qualify that ourselves with an early look at these varieties so that we can have our own independent results to back up what is recommended.
John also commented on the value of the RL and how Agri's trials complement that data in searching for the right variety for your farm.
I've always defended the RL in terms of that ultimate aim and making sure that there are a smaller number of high quality varieties that growers can choose from. With ours, we supplement the RL. We've never wanted to try and replace it, but we do different trials. We do specific lodging trials looking at various inputs and seed rates and the combination that plays out. And probably the jewel in the crown has obviously been the Blackgrass competition work that we've spoken about on many podcasts, Tony.
And indeed we have, John. The experts then transitioned to discussing some of the key wheat varieties for the upcoming season. And here is some advice from Roger as to what varieties to look out for.
And I mean, we could actually, if you look at the new RL for this year, we could look at wheats by group, because we have a new recommendation in group one, group three, soft, group four, soft, and group four, hard. One hard is SY Chia. Now, SY Chia didn't make it onto the list because of its outright yield, because it's not the highest yield within that group. But we have a requirement for group one wheats for quality in the UK. And certainly one of the strengths that it brings to the party over and above Skyfall and Zayat is its better resistance to yellow rust, which is something that farmers have been concerned about within group ones. And its accumulation of protein compared to Skyfall is excellent as well. So it's not just about out and out yield within the group one, it's about the quality, it's about the disease resistance, and the end market indeed that pulls that variety through. Because remember, it's not just the variety's own agronomics that give it a place, it's the end use of a variety. So certainly within group one, SY Chia is a welcome addition to the recommended list. Moving on to group three, we've got Bamford, which has been newly recommended. That's a group three soft wheat. Now Bamford, coincidentally, topped Agri's trials across all varieties. Positive for distilling, and in the north with a yield above Skyscraper, certainly places it very, very well to take quite a market share going forward. Soft also has a new entry, which is Blackstone.
From the same breeders as Bamford, Elsoms. And if you look at Blackstone, which we have done, we're targeting especially sales in the north.
John then shared his top tips for making those all-important decisions on which variety.
I think it's that sort of list of characteristics or things that you really aren't prepared to budge on. You know, like a wish list in reverse, in a way. And I think if you, particularly with different areas of the farm or because of different regions, you know, that sort of list of priorities, and it's often there's too many varieties in the market. I think at first glance you'd say there is, but I sort of, once you go through the, you know, what's your top four things you want, by the time we've actually gone through that list, if we've only got one or two options available to you, then, you know, we probably didn't start off with too many in the first place. So for me, there's always been a group of growers who have always engaged with new variety in the thought process of that when the RL comes out, which is why, you know, we're doing this podcast. But also then engaging in field days earlier on in the season to really see, because I think we've got across all the crops, we've got some great genetics available to us. There's a range of different traits you could really specialize in. You know, if you could be really strong in your list of demands and still end up with a load of good characteristics and good varieties to offer.
And David Leeper left us with a concluding comment that is well worth a listen to.
Don't go to the left-hand side of the list just because it's higher yielding. That can be a misguided judgment. Often the best varieties are sitting in the middle of the pack, and they're supported with much broader characteristics that will deliver longer term.
Some great advice there from Roger Sheriff, John Miles and David Leeper of Agri. And you can claim One Basis and Neroso Point for listening to that podcast. Simply email info@agri.co.uk with your membership number, full name, postcode and date of birth. So let's move on to find out which have been the top podcasts since the launch of Tramlines. In third, it was The Birds and the Bees. In this episode, we're talking about bees and pollinators with Marek Nowakowski, ecologist, wildlife expert and consultant. We will look into the importance of bees and pollinators for growers and some of the steps that can be taken to increase biodiversity on farm. Here, Marek talks about which bees are the best pollinators.
The solitary bees transport dry pollen. So I suppose if we're looking at different types of bee, says he slightly flippantly, do you want honey or do you want pollination? If you want honey, it's the honeybee. What's it like as a pollinator? Well, it's not absolutely the best there is, because it collects pollen, moistens it with a bit of spit and a bit of nectar, rolls it into a ball, sticks it in what they call a pollen basket on its hind legs, and heads for home. And this turns out to be food for the queen and the larvae. And the only effective pollination the honeybee produces is any loose dry pollen that it might have on its body. Now, when you get to the solitary bees, these transport dry pollen. They have a completely different life cycle. They don't, they can't cope with wet or moistened pollen. So their whole body becomes like a collecting brush. So if you're looking at bee for bee, the solitary bees are the pollinators par excellence.
To download further episodes, simply visit Apple, Spotify, and search for Tramlines, or click on the link in the bio. There is a podcast for every farm business, with chat about agriculture, the environment, and latest trials news, with episodes fortnightly. And it's always a pleasure talking to Marek Nowakowski. In second was digging into soil organic matter. In this episode, we're talking to Professor Andy Neal, soil microbiologist from Rothamsted. Andy is currently focusing on a major project called Soils to Nutrition. In this episode, we explored what was meant by soil organic matter and why it is so important to understand when it is influencing the availability of nutrients and water in our soils. Here is a fascinating extract from that podcast.
So, getting organic carbon into your soil directly affects your water holding capacity if you have a sufficient clay content in that soil. Once that's occurred and you've got a nice pore network, that allows oxygen to move through the system as well as water very effectively. Now that's critically important because that oxygen controls the way in which the microbial community metabolizes. In very poorly connected soils, where oxygen is very difficult to move through the system, microorganisms are very capable of switching to anaerobic respiration processes, and they do that largely by using any available nitrate they can get their hands on, or hands to get their mouths around, and their respiratory activity turns that into nitrous oxide. And of course, that's firstly a very potent greenhouse gas. Secondly, that loss from your agricultural soil is a real issue when it comes to nutrient use efficiency.
And that was Professor Andy Neal. And in first place was Why Less is More for Nutrient Planning This Autumn. In this episode, we're talking to Agri's Technical Manager Tom Land and Crop Input Specialist Tom Perrott. In this episode, we considered what we need to be thinking about when it comes to autumn nutrient planning for the winter cereal crop. So when it comes to harvest time, we can see a profitable return on the investment. Here, Tom Perrott shares what he thinks is important to consider.
Certainly, what we've come out with the trials is when you're talking to growers that in today's society and environment and pressures that we're under in agriculture, less needs to be more now. You know, there was a time where we used to take a variety, stick it into trials, see how much nitrogen we could put on it before, say, spring barley nitrogen levels went pop and it was too much. Now we're literally dropping, you know, one little granule of urea onto the plot and seeing just how well we can utilize every little part of that nutrient and how well we can get that plant to utilize it, and also how we can understand the relationship between the soil, the nutrient, and the plant, and getting that all focused. So certainly in a very short amount of time, the industry has sort of done a U-turn on looking at how we can use this nutrition.
That's it for this podcast, sharing insights from past episodes. But do follow Tramlines, which you can do simply by searching on most podcast platforms, such as Apple or Spotify, or simply click the link in the bio. As with every episode, we talk with the experts, asking the questions that are crucial for your farm business. And if you have any questions that you'd like us to ask the experts, email info@agri.co.uk. See you next time.